Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Bruce Gagnon, coordinator with the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, who discusses the latest Pentagon test of the National Missile Defense System and growing concern that the program may spark a nuclear arms race. Wayne Besson, with the Human Rights Campaign, who examines the aborted deal between the Bush White House and Salvation Army, which would have shielded religious charities that discriminate against gays and lesbians. And Reverend Lucius Walker of Pastors for Peace, who talks about the seizure by U.S. Customs agents of a Cuban-made rat poison called Biorat, which the humanitarian aid group was attempting to bring back from Cuba across the Texas border. But first, we begin with a summary of some of the week's underreported news stories.
A powerful new divestment campaign is gaining ground to break the link between Sudan's repressive regime and major oil companies. In recent years, the government of Khartoum has prospered by offering drilling rights to oil companies that trade stock on Wall Street. The oil money has helped fund Sudan's brutal war in the southern part of the country that has resulted both in the looting of villages and a thriving slave trade. To put economic pressure on the oil companies working in Sudan, such as Talisman Energy and the China National Petroleum Company, activists have appealed to mutual fund managers to sell all their shares of the offending companies. At one point, Fidelity, the largest mutual fund company, sold all its shares of Talisman, but later reversed course and bought back $191 million in stock. Church groups and other activists had more success when PetroChina, with the help of Goldman Sachs, tried to raise $10 billion in an initial public offering, or IPO. Human rights groups and the AFL-CIO urged top pension funds to boycott the IPO. As a result, PetroChina was only able to raise $2.9 billion, mostly from BP Amoco. In June, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill that prohibits oil companies that operate in Sudan from trading stock on the New York Stock Exchange or on NASDAQ. Divestment activists are upbeat. Eric Reeves, a professor at Smith College and campaign coordinator, stated, "The end goal is to make participation in Sudan so painful that Khartoum will have to get the message." The news magazine In These Times reports that the Pentagon is America's leading toxic polluter. Each year, the U.S. military spews out over 750,000 tons of hazardous material and faces little in the way of environmental enforcement. Congress has exacerbated the military toxic problem by exempting the Pentagon from the federal Superfund program that targets the worst toxic waste sites. A recent study by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency found that it would cost over $350 billion to clean up the military toxic hotspots, more than five times the Superfund cleanup liability faced by private industry. But now the Bush administration is planning to cut the cleanup budget by 7.5%. The White House also wants to impose new efficiency measures at the Pentagon, which environmentalists contend is a code word for sidestepping federal environmental regulations. The Pentagon is now preparing to sell off old bomb sites and training grounds that are full of toxic bomb fragments, unexploded munitions, and buried toxic waste. At the moment, the Pentagon shows little interest in cleaning up these facilities before they are sold off. The U.S. Forest Service recently closed off some public lands it had purchased from the U.S. Army. In 1999, a Colorado hiker came across an unexploded bomb near an abandoned World War II training base. Clearly, the Pentagon's vast hazardous areas need to be cleaned up. In recent months, life has become dangerous for dissenting American Jews. In May, a right-wing pro-Israel website, Masada 2000, targeted Rabbi Michael Lerner, editor of Tikkun magazine, and five other peace activists for being the most dangerous Jewish enemies of the Jewish people. In Lerner's case, the website provided directions to his house. Lerner, who has called for an end to Israeli occupation of Palestinian land, has received several death threats and over 60 hate emails, according to the magazine In These Times. The threats on the Masada 2000 website are similar to those issued by anti-abortion extremists targeting abortion doctors. One site, the Nuremberg Files, crossed off the names of abortion doctors